Jimmy's the real one. Okay, Jim, so can you just give us your date and place of birth, please?
1st of May, 1920. In Cartmel Cottages, Midland Lane, what was in those days Martin Moss, but is now part and parcel of Blackpool.
Okay. And what about brothers and sisters, Jim?
Well, I have two older sisters. My eldest is 89. The next one is 84. And then I have a younger brother who is 76.
Yes. Did your younger brother go in the forces, Jim, eventually?
Yes, he did actually 30 years in the army.
So he was a regular soldier?
Yeah.
Okay, perhaps we'll talk a bit more of him later on. What about your mum and dad, Jim?
Well, my father was a bricklayer. My mother, of course, was just an housewife.
Yeah, that's right.
My father came from Blackpool, but my mother was a Manchester woman who was in service in Blackpool when she met me dad.
Yeah. And what about your dad? Did your dad go into the forces at all?
He was in the Royal Army Medical Corps in the First World War.
So, any particular theatres that he was in over there that you know of?
No.
Right. But he was in France, presumably, I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah. So, you as the young boy growing up in Blackpool, what was it like, and were your first recollections of that?
Well, it was very pleasant because, of course, we always spent a lot of time down on the beach and the sand hills, and the school I went to, which was Waterloo Road, there was like a small park alongside, and mother used to come and bring you dinner, and you had your dinner in that park.
Yeah. What sort of school did you go to, Jim? Your early thoughts of school days?
Well, there was only ordinary primary schools. I didn't go to a higher grade school or anything. I went to Waterloo Road at Blackpool until I was 7. And then through my father coming to Blackpool to work, we moved here. And from then on, I went to St. Matthew's School in Blackburn until I left school.
So you moved from Blackpool to Blackburn when you were how old, Jim?
I think I was either 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Because I always remember it was the year that Blackburn Rovers won the FA Cup.
Oh, right. I can't help you there because I can't remember that particular date.
28,
okay. So then you moved to Blackburn. Your dad is still working at his building, bricklaying work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to school. Are you interested in any particular things at school at that age?
Well, not a lot, really. I didn't play a lot of football or anything. I used to do things like singing in the school choir and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just pause the tape a second, Jim, if you want. Do you want to look at the dogs? Hang on a second. Okay, Jim, so we're just talking about school. You were about 7 or 8 at the time, and you were saying about football, I think.
Yeah. I did play a bit of football, but not a great deal, because my father was one of these people who didn't believe in balls to grow windows.
Yeah, okay. And being a builder, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about things? I mean, your dad was working, so there was money coming into the house.
Yeah.
So that was okay. He had a reasonable standard of things.
Well, a reasonable standard of living, but my father was a heavy drinker.
Was he?
So it was mother who sort of kept the home going.
But she didn't work your mum, because...
No, because she just looked after the family.
Mm.
But father was one of those people that, from work, he was stood on the pub doorstep waiting for the opening at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he didn't come home till they shut at night.
Does that mean some of the money went there over the bar or something?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, you're growing up, you're 7, what about senior or grown-up school a bit later on?
Of course, like I say, we, in those days, you stayed at the same school.
Okay.
You didn't go, when you got 11, I sat my 11 plus at 11, but the thing was, when it was done at school, I was off sick. And I had to go down to what at the time was Blackburn Technical College to sit it there. And whether it was nerves or what, I don't know, but I didn't pass my 11 plus.
Okay. But you went on to school until what sort of age, Jim?
Well, 14.
14. And then what do you do?
Well, my first job, I got at a textile firm called Jones's Textilities that made bobbins and all sorts of stuff for the textile industry. Of course, in those days, leaving school, you were in, and then if the orders dropped or anything, you were out of the finish. So my first job lasted just about 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. And your second job?
Well, from that one, in those days, we had to go to school half a day. 1 week mornings, the other week afternoons. It was called the Dole School. Because if you didn't go, you didn't get your 5 shillings dole.
Mm.
And I was going there, and I was going with older lads, 15 or 16. And one day, the head teacher got 2 or 3 of them together and gave them what they called in those days a green card, and sent them to a brickworks for work. And I went with them. And the manager, he got these 3 or 4 blokes and got their papers off them and sort of tested them for the job, and he turned around to me and he says, "What about you, boy?" Oh, I said, "Well," I said, "they wouldn't give me a green card." I said, "I'm only 14. I said, "They said I wasn't old enough to come here." And he said, "You look the biggest and the strongest of the lot." I said, "Do you want the job?" I said, "Yeah, if there's one going." So he says, "Right, come with me." And he took me in this machine shed, and there was a full barrel of bricks just come off the brick press. And he says, "Right, get all of that barrel and follow me." And I wheeled the barrel around to the kiln where the setters were going to set the bricks to be burnt, and got an empty barrel, took it back, I did that two or three times, and he said, right, he said, be here tomorrow morning with David working.
And how long did that last you?
Well, that lasted until I was about 18, or not quite.
And what year would that have been?
The 38.
Okay.
And my father, he was the works bricklayer at another brickworks.
Yeah.
A different firm altogether. And one day he came home and he said, you'll have to finish at Woods Brickworks. He said, you're starting at Whittaker's on Monday. So that was the thing. I finished there and I started at Whittaker's Brickworks on the Monday. And I was there then until, see, the thing was that I had joined the TA in 1937.
Okay.
And on the 1st of September, I think it was, on the Friday, we were called up to report to the Canterbury Street Barracks here in Blackburn for active service.
The war hadn't started then, because it's 1938.
I've got to 1939.
Okay, fine.
Sorry.
Fine.
I've
fine. So now, let's just go back a few steps.
Yeah.
What about the outbreak of war? What do you remember of when that happened?
Well, the thing was that, like I say, on the Friday, the 1st of September 1939, I was at work when it came out over the radio that all territorial soldiers had to report to the barracks at 5 o'clock that day.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And of course, that's what we did. And then war was declared on the Sunday the 3rd at 11 o'clock. We was on more or less orders to go, I got married at 9:15 on the 5th of September, 2 days later,
right,
at Blackburn Registry Office.
Now there's several things. And what about, first of all, what about your dad and your mum when all this is happening and you're going possibly overseas at some stage?
Well, they were very upset. I mean, they knew that both myself and my brother was in the regular army. He was only 15. And they knew that it was inevitable that we would have to go. But I think Mother was more concerned than Dad.
What regiment was your brother in?
Well, he originally enlisted in the Lancashire Fusiliers. But all in all, his 30 years service, he served in 5 different units.
Right.
He joined the Lancashire Fusiliers and as a boy. And of course, when the war started, he kept putting in transfers to be transferred to the East Lancs to get with me. And I kept stopping it because, as far as I was concerned, I had enough to do to look after myself,
yeah,
without bothering about the safety of my younger brother.
Yeah.
And with that, he started going absent without leave and all this, that, and the other. And he was finally discharged with a recommendation of unsuitable for any further military service. But when he attained the age of 18, he was conscripted back into the army, and of course he came back to the East Lancs.
Right.
And he was stationed with the 4th Battalion, which of course at the time I had left. There was down in Emsby somewhere near Great Yarmouth. They were just a training battalion for the rest of the war. And in 1944, just before the Normandy affair started, there was a draft coming to the 1st Battalion from the 4th Battalion, and my brother was the waiting man on the draft. But luckily for me, at the last minute, he was on the station with all his kit, but the bloke that was missing turned up, and of course he didn't come to the 1st Battalion.
So just briefly there, to finish off what we're saying about your brother, he survived the war?
Oh yes, he was a prisoner. When he didn't get transferred to the East Lancs, he finished up with the Duke of Wellington Regiment. And he was wounded and taken prisoner on the Anzio Beachhead.
Right. But he survived and...
He survived the war.
Still living?
Yes. He came out of the army at the end of the war for about 6 months, and he re-enlisted into the Royal Army Service Corps, which later became the Royal Corps of Transport, and that was where he finished his time as a full corporal in the Royal Corps of Transport.
Right. So now, if we now go back to where you were at on your story, Jim, Territorial Army, you go into, from a Territorial Army, what unit do you go into?
Well, the Territorial Army was the 4th Battalion,
okay,
the East Lancashire Regiment. And that was the regiment that we went to France with through Dunkirk.
Right, so what about your training now with the 4th Battalion, and where was that training?
Well, when we left Blackburn, we went up to Northumberland, just outside of Newcastle. And battalion headquarters and one of the companies was in a huge mansion called Capitan Hall, and there was another two companies in another big place near Newcastle called Belsey Hall, and there was also a company at a place called Ready Mean.
Yeah.
And that was where we did our training.
And what was your, how, what did your training consist of, Jim?
Well, the thing was that I was, at the time, we had to do weapon training and drill, but I was also employed in the sergeant's mess, as a sergeant's mess waiter.
What about the weapons training, first of all? What was that?
Well, when I first joined, I was a Vickers machine gunner. But when the Bren gun came in, and the Lewis, we had the Vickers machine gun and the Lewis gun. And when the Bren gun came in, and Bren gun carriers and all that, we had to retrain on the Bren gun and our rifle drill. You had to fire your shoot, which you have to qualify say for certain, well, if you're qualified as a marksman, you got extra money.
Yeah. And what sort of an outfit were the 4th Battalion, East Lancashire's?
Well, as I say, it was a territorial army battalion, and most of the officers were solicitors in civil life, and the younger ones were mostly the sons of mill owners and the likes of that.
But it was an infantry.
It was an infantry battalion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you've got some weapons training there. What sort of other training did you do?
Well, I did finish up later, and I was the boy's anti-tank rifleman in the platoon.
Mm-hmm.
There was one boy's anti-tank rifle per platoon, which was a hideous weapon. It was about 7'6" long, and I think the caliber was something 5.05 or something like that. It was a fairly biggish bullet.
Yeah.
And
you were showing there about 1 foot long, 9 inches long.
Yeah. And I was trained in that, and that was my position when we went to France and to Dunkirk.
So when did you go to France?
well, it was very secret and it was very hush-hush, but we were supposed to be going to Narvik. And there was a lot of hanging on, and division was saying we had to come down and join them, and the CO kept saying, oh no, we can't. He couldn't tell them why, because it was unknown to division. We were scheduled to go to Narvik. And anyway, eventually it fell through. It was too late. And we went to France, I think it was either late March or early April.
As part of what division was that, Jim?
The 42nd Lancashire Infantry.
Okay.
A territorial division.
And you were there as a private?
Yeah.
What's your service number, by the way, Jim?
338-6032.
Okay. So, what about the journey over to France, and where did you go to in France? Can you remember?
Yeah. I think both we went on was an old island man passenger boat called the Ben McCree, and we docked at Cherbourg, and we was in a transit camp at Cherbourg for 3 or 4 days, and then we went to a place called Fresnay, Fresnay Suisse or something, I think the correct name was, and whilst we were there, a truck, the driver was drunk. He hit 3 or 4 blokes, killed one of the battalion crew called Tommy Cook, and severely injured the other three.
Yeah, yeah. So from there, what you're moving forward here somewhere?
Well, from there, we went to a place on the French-Belgian border. At a place, I think, one was called Halloween, and another place a bit further down was called Ronc. And of course, there, we were on defence, and we also did patrols along the border with the French gendarmes, the French police.
Yeah.
They used to patrol along there.
Yeah.
And down in Belgium, about 4 or 5 miles away, you were looking down on a town. Now, what it was, I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know to this day. But at night time, you could see the trams flashing the wires as they were travelling, and cars and everything on the road, and all places lit up.
Biggish town, then, it sounds.
Biggish town, mm. Yes. And on the night of the 9th of May.
Which year?
1940.
Mm.
On the night of the 9th of May, 1940. I was on guard in a big concrete pillbox right on the border. The border was only about 10 or 15 yards from the pillbox.
Yeah.
There was so far no man's land, and then he was in Belgium.
Mm.
And we were there, and I was on guard. And I remember about 2 o'clock in the morning, we was there, we could hear this droning of planes,
mm-hmm.
many planes, heavily laden,
mm.
and all of a sudden on this town, the bomb started to drop, and I should say that would be about 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning on the 10th of May 1940.
Yeah.
And we were stood on top of the pillbox, watching it.
Yeah.
And you could see the bombs dropping, and then all of a sudden the light started going out till everywhere was like blacked out, like we were over here.
Yeah. Was that the first sort of signs of action that you'd seen so far?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You haven't actually seen any German soldiers at this moment in time?
No.
Okay.
Because later that day, to my recollection, the border was opened and we marched into Belgium.
Mm.
And we went right down onto the banks of the Dyle River, I think it was called,
mm.
near a place called Tourcoing.
Mm.
And our first battalion at the time was they were in the same division, and there was more, I think it was over to the right from us, at a place called Tourney.
So let me just recap. So you've got the 1st Battalion East Lancashires and the 4th Battalion East Lancashires, both in the 42nd Division.
Yeah, in different brigades.
Different brigades, yeah. Okay. So then where do you go next from there?
Well, we were there till eventually we saw Germans on the other bank.
A river? A river bank?
Yeah, the river. Mm-hmm. The other side of the river.
Yeah.
And they dropped leaflets on us, telling us that the French had left us at one side, the Dutch and the Belgians had left us at the other side.
Yeah.
We were completely surrounded.
Mm.
And asking us to throw down our arms and give up.
So, what was the reaction to that?
Well, we just laughed, and a lot of these leaflets were used as toilet paper.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, So then what happens? Do the Germans...
Well, the thing was that that lasted, I think, possibly 2 or 3 days. And then the orders came that we were pulling out. And all the carrier platoons with the drain guns and everything, they were left there just blazing away while the foot soldiers, the riflemen, moved out.
When you say blazing away, you mean?
Just firing.
Yeah, not on fire, you mean firing.
Firing.
Yeah.
They were just one magazine after the other, just keeping the Germans down so that they wouldn't realise that the rest of us were pulling out.
Because you at this stage were a rifleman.
Well, I was the boys' anti-tank rifleman in the platoon.
Yes, okay.
And we pulled back. The first place I recollect is getting back to